life.
Amen. Herr, segne dein Wort, segne
bless
die Gemeinschaft
your word. Bless the fellowship tonight.
Wir brauchen dein Sprechen
zu uns allen. We need you speaking to all of us.
And read to us,
speak to us personally, that we can hear your voice. We want to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. Anoint our lips with the holy oil of the Spirit of the Lord.
Eine Zeit der Zurüstung für die Priesterschaft zu haben.
To have a time of equipping for the priesthood. It's not just a conference. It's a priestly training.
Wir sind alle zu einer Zurüstung gekommen.
We're here to be equipped.
Um zu lernen, wie wir Gott wohlgefällig dienen.
To learn how we can be well-pleasing in service for the Lord. Because the title of the conference is the perfection of Zion through the priestly service. That's also the perfection of God's planning. Plan.
Den hatten wir in der Gebetsversammlung
this
vor der
first
Konferenz,
verse
Vers 17.
In Psalm 102, verse 17. Psalm 102,
der Aufbau von Zion 17. Und die Wiederkunft des Herrn. Da heißt es in Psalm 102, Vers 17, wenn der Herr Zion aufgebaut hat,
That's verse 16 in Psalm
102.
For the Amen. Lord shall build up Zion,
Halleluja.
Or when he has built
der
it up,
Herr
he
Zion
shall appear in his glory.
Dann erscheint in seiner Herrlichkeit.
Yeah.
Amen. Baue Zion mit
Lord,
uns
build
auf.
Zion
Amen.
With us.
Halleluja. Das ist, worum es hier geht. Wir wollen,
that's
dass
what
der Herr
it's
so
about.
Kommt.
We want
wollen,
the Lord to come back.
Zeitalter beendet wird.
We want that this whole age is finished.
So
but the Lord can't just
ja,
come like that.
Kommen, Zeit,
he cannot just come at auch. Any time.
Weil die Wiederkunft des Herrn braucht eine Vorbereitung.
Because the return of the Lord needs a preparation. He comes to receive the kingdom. But if there is no location where the Lord is ruling on this earth, how can he come? It doesn't work. You think the Lord will just come with the saints. But the Lord will not come by himself. The Lord comes back with a whole army that will follow him. We are this army. Who is this army? Some think it's angels. No, these are not angels. In Revelation 19, it doesn't talk about angels. It's about the people of the Lord that have come to perfection. And the Lord wants to fight this battle together with them. Yeah, to push him into the pit. Together. He doesn't want to do it by himself. He wants to do it with the young people here. Praise the Lord. Did you think of that? Did you think that the Lord with us wants to destroy the enemy? That's what we're here for. That's why the Lord will not come at any time. He will only come when there is such a prepared group of people. He wants to have those, otherwise he can't come. Who is waiting for whom? We wait for the Lord, for his coming, and we look at the timetable, and we think, oh, we're so close. But the timetable should speak to us. If you go on, then I can come. The Lord needs these people that he can come. And these people, it's not just created somehow. It's how we collaborate as humans. We heard the first evening. God gave us a free will. We are here from our free will. Is anybody been forced to come here? Okay, you're voluntarily here. Okay. When I was young, sometimes I was a bit forced to come. But with time, more and more, it was voluntarily. And that's what it depends on, how the Lord builds up Zion. It says, when the Lord has built up Zion, the Lord doesn't do it by himself. He only does it together with us. That's his plan. This plan he will not change. Sometimes we hear people say, God is almighty. Why does he not finish all this evilness and bring in his kingdom? Why doesn't he do that? Because his purpose is with us people. It doesn't work without us. Are you aware of that? It's not possible without people who work together. God is so mighty and so great. He has hundreds, thousands, billions of angels. But he doesn't want to accomplish his plan with them. He wants humans, us humans, that we voluntarily work together with him. Isn't that wonderful? We're here to work together with the living God. Are you proud of your company, that you work there? With a company with such a name or have a profession? Is it not just so much bigger? I work together with the living God, if you can say that. Did you ever tell someone? What's your job? I work together with God. Are you sure? That's wonderful. 1 Corinthians 3. Paul said that. We are God's co-workers. With whom do you work together? Who is your employer? Who is your boss? God himself is our boss. We work together with the living God. Can you imagine how dependent God is from us? We often take too much vacation. When you are employed in Germany, you have 30 days of vacation. In the US, you only have 10 days of vacation. And even those you shouldn't necessarily take. But how much vacation do we take with the Lord? Can he work together with us every day? What does it look like in our daily life? If it's Monday, can he count on us? And can you say, this is my co-worker? I can work together with him, with Rainer? Isn't that a wonderful calling to work together daily with the living God? That's the greatest thing that is there. You can't have a greater boss than this. And we saw what kind of people does God work together. I just lift up my hand and say, Lord, I want to work together with you. And he's going to say, thank you, I waited for you for a long time. Everybody who wanted to serve with God was very much welcome. There's a few conditions. He doesn't work together with everybody. In a company, it's the same. I can go to Simon's job and say, can you please hire me? And they ask me, what are my qualifications? I don't know what type of task he's doing, but I want to work here. But your degree is very different from what you need. Will they hire me? Never. They will not even invite me for an interview. God wants to work with us. But it's not that he will just work with anybody and say, I want to work with you. It's not that easy. Because it's a living God. God is holy. When we read the Bible, all people who worked together with God were holy people without exception. There's no unpure person that God worked together with. All 12 apostles were holy. The prophets were holy people driven by the Holy Spirit. How we are, it's not, oh yeah, that's why we had fellowship about the priesthood in these days. And that's what's drawn here, is a schematic of the tabernacle of the house of God. And that's how God works together with us. That's the entrance here. It's in the east. You can't just go in anywhere. There's only one door. And the word says, Jesus Christ says, I am the door. The main condition is that Jesus Christ is your door, that you have received him in your life and have come through him to God forward. That's the first step. That's the door. We need that first. I hope all of them have gone through the door. And if not, please go through the door. Jesus Christ is a wonderful door into the presence of God, into the kingdom of God. It's not just a dwelling place, it's also a kingdom. It's Zion. We're here that God's kingdom can come. And the first thing we saw is the burnt offering altar. It's the death of the Lord, where everything has finished that does not belong to God. We have many things in our hearts that stop God. Are there not many things in your heart that have nothing to do with God? What do you think of the whole day? Only the Lord, His word? What do you think about when you drive through the city? Or I would like to do this. Our thoughts are in so many places. All this has to be burnt. God cannot use this. We need a treatment like that, that God can work with us. We talk about that. And the bronze laver. First the burnt offering altar, then the laver. You have to wash your hands, your feet has to be washed. This world is a bigger danger than we think. It's a danger. It's the enemy tries to catch us, that we miss God's purpose. And he thought of many baits. I thought of one verse in 1 John chapter 5. John quickly mentioned it. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad, what distracts us from the Lord. If it's not, but doesn't belong to God, it will stop us from working with God. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. That's why there is the laver to clean. How often do you wash your hands? Several times a day, your hands, your face. How often do you go to the spiritual sink? To cleanse our hearts from this age, from the vanity of this age. That's very good. I did that daily before the conference to cleanse my heart from the age. The Lord knows what's in our heart. We have this sink here, and it's needed. It doesn't mean that we can't go to work. We don't have to walk now to work or take the, if you love your car. It's necessary. How does the Lord save us? The laver is there, but the priest has to wash himself. We have his word, we have his cross. It's important that we wash our hands every time new. Otherwise, we will die. That's what we've seen many times. They will go with us until the end. They pass by the sink and they weren't there anymore. That's important about the priestly service, that we don't die. If we have been washed like that and have been cleansed from death, we also have to be cleansed from death. These last few days, I said, Lord, really finish all death. I've never had weakness. I've never seen weakness when it's about sports or entertainment. But when it's about God, there's suddenly death in our life. And the Lord really has to cleanse us from this death. A wonderful place to be cleansed from death.
Praise the Lord. This lampstand was mentioned yesterday as a tree. It's a tree of almonds. And you know, the almond tree is the first tree that blossoms. It's a picture for resurrection. So we really need resurrection. Every day we see, Lord, cleanse me. You know, if you do sin, you feel so bad. Say, Lord, please cleanse me from my sin. If your conscience is clean again, you're so happy. Whoa, I'm clean from my sins. Oh, what did I do? But the bigger problem is not dealt with yet. The bigger problem is not sin, but it is the death. How do you react? We react very fast if there's sin and we realize we need to be cleansed. But do we react when we need cleansing from death? You know, if things you do wrong, there's some money, you take some money and suddenly there's some thinking about how could I, maybe I can use this money. And your heart says, Lord, cleanse me. This is only sin. But you know what is more dangerous? Is death. And I want to show you 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Well, let's take an English translation. That would be helpful. 23, it says he will come. The Lord speaks from his coming. And then it says, and then the end comes. So 24, 1 Corinthians 15, 24. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to his God and Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign until he has put all the enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Is the death. Are we clean from sin? Are you? You washed? Amen. Are we pure of death? Oh, we don't say so fast. Amen. It is a stronger cleansing we need, and we really need it. We have to tell the Lord, Lord, from now on, as a priest of the Lord, Lord, cleanse me from sin, but also cleanse me from all death. What is better to be pure of, clean? Only happy to be free of sin? My conscience is healthy again? Or are we like Paul? I want to read to you what Paul said in Romans 7, 24. Oh, I wretched man, who am I? Who will deliver me from this sin? We say, Lord, forgive me. But what did he write? Wretched man, who will deliver me from the body of death? A body of death. But how much do we call, like Paul, that we are saved from death? How come we come to prayer meeting and we're suddenly so tired? Or even we don't want to come to the meeting. We're on our chair and we can't pray. Is that sin? Maybe sin came, but you say, wash me through your blood, and you're washed. Where's the bigger problem? It is death. Lord Jesus, the priests really need a strong feeling for spiritual death. We have to hate it, like Paul. I, wretched man, if you realize you're getting weak to preach the gospel, Have you ever experienced there was too weakness to go for the gospel? What stopped you? What stopped you? The spiritual death, that is the reason why you stopped to preach. If you're too weak to come to the Lord, to give fellowship to somebody, this is spiritual death. What do you do? I say, oh, well, okay, no pre-service today. Let's take a holiday in death. No, unfortunately, we do that. We do holiday in our death from priest survey. But Lord Jesus, we can call to the Lord from now on. A wretched man, a wretched priest. Lord, who will deliver me from this body of death? Lord, save me from all spiritual death. It's good to pray like this from each other. The most powerful that the enemy has, the most powerful weapon for the church is spiritual death. The sin often starts it. You are with the world and you're earthly, and then the death will stick to us. And the priestly services are gone. Therefore, let us pray for each other. Lord, save us from this death. Take away all death in your church. Make us living like an almond tree full of resurrection life. Count how many is on the mandel, how many blossoms are on this golden lampstand? We call 3 times 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. Why 3? Full of resurrection, the 3. How many arms on every side? 3. 3 times 3. Plus in the middle, 3 times 3. Oh, in the middle, 4. Yeah. 4. It's a 3 times 3. That's the church. 3 times 3 and 3 times 3. Full of resurrection. This shows how much we need the Lord. We need this resurrection life. And then if you look at these breads, 6 and again 6. And there's incense between. You know, incense, what meaning does it have? Also resurrection. In this holy place, all death is swallowed up by resurrection. Everybody who serves the Lord has to have all death taken away by resurrection. All the weakness, all the drawing of this world to us. We're incapable to preach or to do something, to have the gospel, to fellowship, to pray. We should go forward and tell the Lord, Lord, take away all death. Amen. And if this is happening, Ezekiel 73, a wonderful, is one of our favorite, right? Favorite chapters. The whole people of Israel was dead, dried bones. Not only killed, but bones. And these bones are even dried. 3 times dead. Dead, dead, dead. Not 3 times life, but death. And this is the situation among us Christians today. If you look around, there's so much death. So little understanding what is life and what is death. You can see sometimes what is sin and what is pure, pure and unpure. But even places are there's not at all. They live in fornication and nobody dares to say something because they think they will go. Then it's done. That's Babylon. That's Babylon. But some are very strong. I know a group, if there's just a smell of something, then they will have a personal talk with 3 elders. And if you don't guarantee that you did correct, you're out. Is that the way the Lord will deal with this? I don't believe so. The Lord wants to give the sinners life that they overcome. But often there's no taste for life and death. But this means we're not in this sanctuary. If we're here, if we live here, I tell you, you will know the difference between life and death. No other way it will be. How can you eat this wonderful bread, serve at such a lampstand, and have no taste for life? This will not work. So, God's people in Ezekiel 35 are completely dead. But then, the breath of life comes. And the prophet has to tell. He has to speak. He has to prophesy to. And he says, hear the word of the Lord, your dry bones. Didn't you all get life in these days? Are you not want to pray more, to come together, to fight together with the Lord, joy in the Lord? If you don't have joy in the Lord, there's death. That's not normal. If you come to the table of the Lord and there's no praise and no joy, hey, you're in grave. It's not normal. You have to say, Odem. Odem is, I want to bring this breath into you that you shall live. Odem is a breath. I want to put sinners. If we don't go on, it's death. All these joints are cut. You can't walk. If there's no sinews. Oh, sorry, I don't know this word. But we need muscles, spiritual muscles, and skins that we will be life. And when I prophesied, there was a rattling, and the bones are coming together, bringing together the life brings together. Life brings unity. Death always separates. Why are thousands of groups? Because if you die, what happens? Your bones fall apart. I am not scared my arm will fall off. As long as I'm alive, my arm is there. Maybe unless an accident. This is the unity by the life of the Lord. It's not the teaching, not the oneness of the ground. To have all scattered bones on one ground, is that unity? Not the way of the Lord. So the Lord worked, and it says there's no spirit in them, no life. So if the death is very deep, you need more extra resurrection. You shouldn't be happy already from what we received in this conference. We want to have such a measurement of resurrection life, like in the holy place. 12 is also 3 times 4. You have the 3. How do you realize this? That every day you can serve the Lord in the Spirit. When you meet, you realize, oh, this man is in prayer. You speak to each other. You meet on the street. You meet in the shopping. And you didn't speak about, oh, which sport event happened. No, you say, the Lord must go on in Zion. Ah, this brother is not in shopping. He's in the holy place. You know, in this holy place, you can always be. Not only when you're here on a Tuesday evening or in a prayer meeting. This picture, I put them together. A walk and service in spirit. Oh, he's speaking very fast, hard to translate, but praise the Lord. All the time, you know, you think Paul only prayed for all the saints on the prayer meeting and then after that he forgot about them? No, I want to read to you how he served, how he walked. Philippians 1, verse 7 says, just as it is right for me to think of you like this, this for you are, because I have you in my heart. If you meet Paul on the street, where else does he think? The saints in Ephesus, in Colossae, and the saints he have not even met in Laodicea. And what does he do? He prays for them. What do you think if you drive your car? When you go shopping, what do you think about if you're at work? You think of the saints? Are you here in this holy place or somewhere out? Far away. We should always be here. Lord, I want to be a priest that always is standing before you in the holy place. Like he says in verse 3, I thank my God upon remembrance of you. They say, oh, you didn't work, he was full time. You didn't have much to do. We have so much to do today. He was better off, Paul. Where was Paul in Philippians? He was in prison. What would you think if you're in the prison in chains and death in front of your eyes? You think about the saints? Or on your skin that is itching under the chain? How is this possible? Through the Spirit. It's possible through the Spirit. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bring us all into this place. I want to read this to you, verse 10, back to Ezekiel. So I prophesied and he commanded, as he commanded, and a breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. That's why we're here. Zion, the priesthood. The priesthood is an army. It should be an exceeding great army. Are you fighters here? Soldiers of Jesus? Praise the Lord. I tell you, this is wonderful. It's wonderful to belong to His army. in a resurrection life to be with the Lord, to eat this food will change your life for resurrection. You know, if daily I look at the football soccer game, and then the news, and then I read one verse and go to bed, you think I live in resurrection life? I tell you, it's impossible. It will not work. These breads, Toby once made a bread. It's so big. It didn't fit on his baking table. It was a half a bread. It's such rich, one bread. And we should eat so richly from the Lord. Look at your daily life. How much slots do you have to eat? How much else do you eat? I mean, spiritually, you know. You can see a lot on how you use your time and how much resurrection life you have. The more you put your thoughts on the Lord, the more easy it is to live in resurrection life. This is my experience from the last days. And even if you wake up in the night, you think of, Lord, the incense altar, and you open the Bible. How was this verse? Lord, what is this? Bring me into the revelation. Amen. We have 12 big bread. And what does the army do? They just have a walk, right? No, they're fighting. And this is why we have the altar of incense. The incense altar is for the spiritual warfare. Are you in this fight? Every day. How do you know that somebody is actually really in this warfare? Simon, what would you say? One thing here is in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, shows us if somebody is in this altar. He says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his device, what he wants to do, right? If you see what the enemy does to fight against the church, then you are somebody who is aware you are in spirit, fighting in spirit. If you see in the church is not going as it should be, and you realize you are standing in front of this altar, because it is not, you know what he's doing. We're not ignorant what this snake wants to do. If you do not know what your enemy is doing, how do you want to win the war? You know why Israel and the United States of America are so powerful in this fight? Because they exactly know what their enemy is doing. How is it possible the first attack in this war completely destroyed all the leaders? Because they know where they sleep, when they stand up, where they go, what they eat, where they eat, when they drive where, which car they go. They know everything, even the lights when they drive by. This intelligence they had knew that they all came together and they completely destroyed this enemy. We don't need a Mossad, CIA like this, because the Lord knows everything. We don't need a secret service. But if you live in spirit, don't you think the Lord will show you what the enemy is trying to do? You think you will be in darkness, and suddenly one is out of the church. Oh, where is he? And then the next one left and gone. And why does he say nothing anymore? And it doesn't go on here. And you wonder, oh, and you have no idea what's happening. Then you're not at this altar. If you're here at this altar, you know what the snake is doing. And you will fight in a good way. Even this outward war has to give us an understanding of the spiritual warfare. We want to fight in spirit. But the snake, he never sleeps. Do you think he goes to sleep, Satan? No, unfortunately not. But praise the Lord, also our God never sleeps. If we learn to live by spirit, by our prayer, we will destroy the enemy. We will send spiritual rockets on him. Lord, send him again a rocket. Have you ever prayed like this? No, huh? We should do that now. From now on. Because he's fighting always against the church. Don't you think he wants to swallow the young people, the youth? Why are there so few young people in the churches? Under the Christians, until the 10, the, and 10 to 25, there's a big gap. And then some come back. And in between, the lion draws them into the world. So what to do? Every day, read 2 hours with him the Bible. Is that the way? Take Jonas every day, half an hour, learn Bible verses. And the afternoon again. And you only are allowed to read the Bible, no other book. And you have to be 7 meetings in a week. Huh? And then it will be really burning. If he does it freely, okay. But after half a year, he said, my life is a desert. That's how I heard how it was. Where the young... Don't you think as soon as they can, they will run away? Is that the way? Of course, they need the word. But if we don't pray, all the time pray, how will the Lord give the victory? This altar is a big, big mystery. Why is it there, I ask myself. God can do it. But it's a mystery that God says, I will not do it unless you pray for my will. Can you imagine that? God will not do it unless we pray for it. God will wait. He has time, you know. He has much time. If the saints die, spiritually die, and it doesn't go on, then do you think God will just do nothing? And will do everything by himself? No, he has time. He can wait. Till it comes to Roman Catholic. He waited. It's the deepness of Satan, and he still waited. He waited. He didn't turn it. Why? He cannot do it? No, he's waiting for man. He's waiting if somebody will come to the golden altar and remind him, God, you actually wanted to have a glorious church. If nobody goes to this place and reminds him, you want to have a glorious church, there will be no glorious church. Until that day that somebody is found to go to this place and ask for it. God will not change his plan. If you want your family to be saved and for the Lord, every day go to this altar and say, you want to save all people. This is the way. If you want everybody to be awake, the only way is to go to this altar, to purify from the world, to take the nature of Christ in the burnt offering altar, eat these breads, have light from the Lord, resurrection, and then to pray and humble and thank the Lord and supplicate and say, Lord, you build your glorious church. That's the only way. For example, Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22, 29. The people of the land have used oppression, committed robbery, mistreated the poor and needy, and wrongfully oppressed the stranger. It's terrible. So I sought for a man, one in German says, one single man who will make the wall, who will close it. It's here, the holy place. God's presence is here. You're just before Him. You're in the connection with Him. You hear what He's saying. The Lord is showing you what is happening. You stand there. And He was looking for one man who was closing the wall to build the wall that I not destroy it, that I not destroy the land. But I did not found one. You know, in your house, if there's destruction, then you have to ask yourself, are we enough before this altar? Do we enough ask, Lord, save my family, save my house, save the saints, all. This is what the Lord wants to see. That what is in His heart will also be in our heart. If we are faithful to remind Him, our Lord, He will do it. He said it. I didn't tell that. That's Him. If He had found one man, He would not have destroyed. I read another example in Samuel. 20 years they were oppressed by the enemy. 1 Samuel 7. You're not even 20. Can you believe? 20 years always under pressure. And God did nothing. God just waited. But then they started to call on the Lord. And the Lord said, okay, if you want, I will save you. If you want. For God to save is so easy. So easy. But He will not do it unless somebody from man will wake up, purify, wash, get life, and goes in and tell, Lord, please do it. When I was in school, like you, 15, right? Every evening, I went on my knees and said, Lord, save my class. Every evening. Sometimes I didn't want to pray. I'm so tired. I went to bed and I couldn't sleep. After half an hour in my bed, I said, okay, then I come back to pray. And then I prayed, and after that, I can sleep very good. Many were saved. 8, 9 people came to faith, and one of these we prayed together. Our core topic in the sports was faith. We were standing before jumping, and we were speaking about the Bible. It was a wonderful time. For the Lord, nobody's too young, and nobody's too old. For the Lord, it's about your condition. Are you pure? Are you holy? The altar, incense altar, is inside, not out there. We need to have all this way. But here, God wants to have fellowship with us. Work with us for His plan. And we can ask great things from Him. Ask Him to destroy the devilish regimes. Before that started, I said, destroy this government. And then I heard just 2 days later, they're all wiped out. They were terrible against Israel. Whatever the Lord tells you, it stands directly before the Lord. What the Lord tells you, we should pray for what He shows you. Don't think your own things, what you want. No, we are one with what He wants. Then He will do it. These days I read a story in Kings, 2 Kings. Three kings came with their army in the desert and they were without water and they were all thirsty, soldiers and animals. And they went to the prophet and they said, cannot God help us? And Elisha said, yeah. Because one of your three kings is good, God will help you. One was good, the other one He wouldn't help. But He said, without wind and without rain, He will give us so much water that you will all have thirst enough. And that's easy for the Lord, he said. I was like, wow. And that's an easy thing. Elisa said, for God, that's an easy thing, yeah. I was like, do I know this God? If you are in the sanctuary at this incense altar, you serve him, and that's where Elijah was. Then you say, it's easy for God to do that. God will give water to all you. And the next war, the whole army came because he knew everything that the enemies did. So they all came to take him. Elijah was really living, Elisa, okay, was living in there. The king of Aram was so angry, whatever he spoke with his army, Elijah knew. Elisa says, everything what you will speak, the prophet knows, even if you speak in your chamber. The whole army came to catch this man. And how does he fight? He's nervous. He says, don't worry, Gehazi. With us are more. And he sees the whole army of fire around the city. And he prays. And the whole army gets blinded. And he takes them like a child. And he puts them into the capital in Samaria. And he prays again. And their eyes are opened. But the war is over. They won. Israel won. This is something to show us, if you are serious with the Lord and you're in fellowship, live with the Lord, he will do things you cannot even imagine that are in his will. He will make the church glorious, full of life and full of resurrection. Therefore, this priesthood is. Therefore, this incense altar is there. One aspect I want to mention. To the incense, always the anointment, it always goes together, even in the whole books of Moses. The Holy Spirit helps you to pray. It's always the oil of anointment goes on the one who is on the altar. It's a golden altar. It's only for God's plan. It's not about the cough. It is about God's kingdom. It's not about a small sickness. It's what God wants to do. If you serve, you will have the ointment flowing. The Spirit will help your weakness. The Spirit will help you to pray like this. And in this ointment are full of herbs that heal you. Like if you're sick and you get this ointments, this is, makes you healthy. I want to say with this, if we fight for our saints in prayer, you will have so much Holy Spirit, you will not criticize them. You will not judge the saints because this anointment comes on you and it will heal you from all criticism, from all the things you dislike. Even things that happened were not good. You can forget about them. Why? Because you're standing for them. You intercede for them. This is a so blessed service. Therefore, Paul says, all this armor of God that the church has to put on, it should put in by prayer and supplications to pray for all the saints. If we pray for all saints, I tell you, the enemy has zero chance. Zero. For God to destroy Satan, it's an easy thing. Just by his mouth, he will, and the enemy is gone. But the Lord wants to see if you want that. He's waiting. Do you also want that to happen? If you don't want, the enemy will do a lot. He will do this and that in the church. He can do a lot. If you don't go, if we don't go to the incense altar, let's pray for each other. If there's problem in relationship, in the marriage, with the children, with the saints, no matter which relationship, Jude says, Jude 1:21, you beloved. Is there no problems? Why does he say it? I think he was here. He was blessed. When he sees the saints, he says, beloved. Beloved. This is something he got from the Lord. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. That's the best way. If you have a problem with saints, pray for him in the Spirit. If you pray out there, there's no guarantee. Maybe you pray and you curse or shout in the prayer about them. But even if I'm angry, the more I come to the Lord, the light shines onto me. The Lord judges me and says, take this away. This is bad. I don't like this. Take it out. But suddenly you start to pray for others in the love of the Lord. This way is a priestly service every day, not just once or then. And this is how we get grace and mercy. And one more point I want to mention in Luke 18. The parable, right? That we, what? Pray always. And not lose heart. Pray always. You need 12 breads, else you will be tired. You see, the Lord is going on, but after 1 week your prayer stops, then you're distracted. It's not good. But Luke 18, he says what? Encourage to pray always. Or to always pray and not lose heart. But Satan will stop this prayer as he can because he's scared. Nothing is more scared than this prayer. Why did Daniel come to the lions? That's the proof. Sophia, what did he do? He prayed. And it was in the incense altar. He prayed in spirit. And what was the consequence? He had to go to the lion's den. It was only to stop the prayer. Daniel 6, you see, it's stopping prayer. We have to see, okay, if you want to pray here, there will be fights against it. But good, we will be trained by this. We have food, we have the light, we have the washing, we have the burnt offering, food for us. The Lord will provide us as a Melchizedek. He will serve us with bread and wine, so every day we can go in. Let the enemy fight, but we stay at this altar. What do you think Daniel did? He just continued praying. Before he's in the room, then he went to the den, then he's back to the room. Whatever. He was in the sanctuary. He was in prayer, and all the lions were, whoa. The angel came with him, made him free for prayer. Lord, make me free for prayer. Really. You have to pray that you have time to pray. That our thinking gives a rest. If your thoughts are somewhere around, no. Come to the rest here before the Lord. And then you will hit the enemy. You will target him. And then in Luke 18, he says, shall God not advance his own elect who cry out day and night? And ought he bear long with them? No. I tell you, he will advance to them speedily, quickly. Nevertheless, the Son of Man, if he comes, will he really find faith on earth? Amen. If we work together with him, the fight is won. That is Zion. That's a reality of Zion today. So we stand before the Lord like that. And we're filled with Him. Paul will say, our weapons are mightily before God. What could stop the church in the Acts of Apostles? Not even the Roman Empire, no government, no prison. Nothing could stop them because the word church had prayed in spirit and before the Lord. Read it again. How much the prayer moved on God's plan. That's the church God wants to be. That's, it says, my house should be a prayer house, a house of prayer, not of preaching, but of prayer. May the Lord strengthen us to be Zion. Amen.